Well, this is extremely difficult because we're starting a brand new class today. It's going to go for 8 weeks, and we're going to talk about missions. So that starts this morning. You're here for the very first one, and we're excited about it. This class really is intended to inform us about what God says about missions, but then secondly, to encourage us to be involved in God's mission. And so I hope that you'll be informed and encouraged as we walk through the remaining weeks that we have together. Now, hopefully you were able to receive one of these. Is there anyone that needs a sheet to fill in? Were you able to get one of these? There's a couple in the back that need them. We'll go ahead and get those out to you. First thing I'd like to do, I want to show you a few books. And I don't always do this, but some people are perhaps really interested in reading on some of the things that are happening in missions today. And that's called, so the study of missions is missiology. That's what it's called, kind of a long word that twists your tongue. But I want to show you a few books, and maybe you'll be spurred to order one on Amazon, read and study along with me. But let me show you some of them. This is one of them. This one, it doesn't say the word missions in it at all. It's called The Art of Neighboring. And this one has to do with really loving your neighbor. Remember the second great commandment? The first one is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like unto the first, love your neighbor as yourself. And this book talks about how you can obey the second great commandment and actually love your neighbor. Now, what do you think of that title, The Art of Neighboring? What does that make you think of? What kind of questions does that seem to be answering? Or problems does that seem to be addressing? The art of neighboring. What do you think? How to be a good neighbor. Okay, how to be a good neighbor. Because perhaps that doesn't come naturally, right? What else? Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I mean, maybe it's not just something that happens for everybody. I mean, I think there's a few people like that. I think Pops Shingledecker in a pair of overalls, I mean, he knows everybody on our street, you know. But for most of us, it's not quite that natural, right? And so maybe it's intentional and careful. Any other thoughts? Yeah, David? Yeah, maybe creativity, maybe thinking outside the box. How can I be a good neighbor? This last year, one of our neighbors came around. It was like a Monday night, and they gave us a little photocopied piece of paper. And they said, hey, we're doing a neighborhood ice cream time tomorrow night, you know, and these people owned a gelato shop. They brought out all this gelato, and people from our street all came in. But that's kind of thinking outside the box, right? I mean, how to be a good neighbor. So there's one book. Let me keep going. Here's another one, The Pocket Guide to World Religions. Now, I'm a military chaplain, and so I come in contact with all kinds of world religions. But if you will engage in the mission that God has given us, it means you're going to have to engage world religions, right? So do you understand them? Do you understand their core tenets? Do you understand kind of their worldview? I mean, it's something, the more I've been reading in missions, the more I realized how many biases and presuppositions I have being a white American. I mean, just to be honest, it's like I grew up in a world where everybody kind of looks like me and thinks like me, and then you come to realize, no, really the whole world doesn't look like you and it doesn't think like you. Have you ever felt like a minority? You should zoom out, look at the world, and feel like a minority for a little while. Because there are a whole lot of other religions other than your own. And if you're going to obey the mission of God, you're going to have to engage them. Here's another one called Missionary Methods by Ronald Allen. This is interesting. It's a study of Paul and how he did missions. So it really is trying to see, so what was the strategy of Paul when he did missions? If there's one great missionary hero in Scripture, most people go to Paul, right? I mean, we talk about his journeys. We call them what? Missionary journeys, right? I mean, that's what we call them because he went around and evangelized, planted churches. But this one talks about that. Interesting book. This is another one. This one is a provocative book. I say it's provocative because it may introduce ideas that you haven't wrestled with before, and maybe ideas you don't agree with. But this one's interesting. It's called The Mission of God's People. It's a biblical theology for the church's mission. And this one's by a guy named Christopher Wright. Another interesting book. How about this one? What do you think of the title here? Truth in a Culture of Doubt. If you're going to engage in mission, what does that mean? It means you're taking truth, but you're engaging a culture of doubt. And so how do you do that? How do you do that? Well, here's another one. What is the mission of the church? This is an interesting one. The subtitle, which you probably can't read, says Making Sense of Social Justice, Shalom, and the Great Commission. Interesting one by Gilbert and DeYoung. Another one. This is a pretty popular missiologist. His name is Leslie Newbegin. It's called The Open Secret, An Introduction to the Theology of Mission. That one's been interesting. Here's another one, Cross-Cultural Connections. It opens with a story that I'll share with you during one of our weeks here, but it's a story about a monkey and a fish. That's all I'll say. It's an intriguing story. Let the Nations Be Glad by John Piper. Another interesting one. This one, I brought this one in because we have a lot of medical people in our church. We're people connected to the medical field. This one is called Preach and Heal. And it's really about medicine and mission. And so maybe you know someone or maybe that's something you're interested in. This would be an interesting one for you to read. This one's by John Stott. How many of you have ever heard of John Stott? Yeah, one of my favorite quotes comes from John Stott. He says, the greatest ambitions of man can be summarized in the pursuit of three things: transcendence, significance, and love, all of which are found in God. And that's John Stott. Anyways, this is his. This one's called Christian Mission in the Modern World. And he has an interesting view, one that I actually don't completely agree with, but interesting. It stirs your thinking. Here's another one called The Great Commission. This one's a really good book called Introducing Christian Mission Today. I've just got a few last ones I'll show you. We'll do it rapid fire because I want to teach something today. The Community of Jesus has to do with mission and the church, the establishment of the church. Biblical Theology and the Life of the Church, but this one traces biblical theology in connection with mission. Another interesting piece. Planning Churches Cross-Culturally. Hokey Cover. This book almost did not get opened. At least I think it's a hokey cover. The Church That Christ Built. Kind of a hokey title, too. But actually, it's a very interesting book because what he does is he traces history and he walks through significant figures and their contribution to the mission of the church. So he goes through people like Athanasius, Calvin, the Puritans, the Great Awakening preachers, and he talks about their contribution to the mission of the church. So it's an interesting mission history book. Here's one called The Gospel and Mission in the Writings of Paul. Kind of traces, it's like exegesis of some of Paul's writings in connection with mission. Intriguing title, Transformission. Ooh, what can we do with the word mission to make it exciting? Transformission. This one has to do with short-term mission trips. And then this last bundle I'll present all together because this is going to be one of the themes that we're going to study together. It's one I'm excited to share with you. We'll probably take a few weeks to do it. But this one has to do with urban missions. And so it's mission in a city context. So this one's entitled Why Cities Matter, or Christ and the City, or For the City. And all these have to do with missions and city. And the reason I'm really interested in that is because if you haven't noticed yet, we live in, Laura, a city, absolutely. And so how do we do mission here? And so I'm excited about some of these topics that we're going to study together over tentatively the next 8 weeks. But I set the schedule. And so, you know, I once did this series on the Bible, and I had intended to go 11 weeks, and it went 22. Listen, I'm not going to bore you. If it starts to go like this, you just start doing this, and we'll just say, all right, I think we hit our 8 weeks, you know, like that. It'll be okay. But this is really exciting stuff. In your sheet right in front of you, under introduction, it says this. Christians often talk about mission trips, mission fields, and mission work. We have missions projects. We take up mission offerings. So what is mission? Go ahead and write a definition below. Give it your best thought. I mean, so what is mission? I mean, we use the word. We use it a lot. But how would you define it? So let's start with that. How do you define mission? As soon as someone has a definition that they want to share, just raise your hand. I'd love to hear a few. All right, Pop, do you have a definition? Go ahead. Okay, good. Reaching a lost world for Jesus. Yeah, there's many people that would define it that way. Mission.
Getting out of the church building and bringing the open level of Christ to the people.
Okay, good. All right, so getting out, so it's the scattering nature as opposed to the gathering nature of the church. All right, we're hitting on some good stuff. Who else? Someone from this side. We're a little imbalanced. Laura, thanks. Hola. Yeah, no, oh, she was pointing to Laura. Okay. Ah, yeah. So what are you correlating that with? I mean, because we're not just talking about church, right? I mean,
yeah, that's even your core purpose, why you do it.
Do you know the mission of the place you work? I mean, do you know what?
Yes, we carry it around a little.
So why don't you tell us where you work and what is the mission of that place?
I work for Apple, and well, we carry this little card around with us. One of which is particularly where I work, it's we help as many customers as possible in a timely, efficient, and something manner.
Keep carrying that card around, Laura. Keep carrying that card around. But I think you're on the right track. What you really helped us do, though, is you helped us think, you know, mission isn't just, the word isn't just connected to church, right? I mean, we are in church, so you probably want to come up with a definition because that's probably what we're going to talk about. But I do want you to realize that mission actually is something that's connected to a lot of the spheres of our life. Someone over here. Yeah, Jonathan?
This wouldn't be complete, but something along the lines of what you do because of what you believe. Like with Ragnar, because the company is doing something, we exist to make life more awesome for our runners.
Okay, good. So it's based on what you believe. So what you do based on what you believe. Now, you're bringing up something that's very interesting. Your vice president for Ragnar is shaking his head that's actually not true at all. But again, we don't want to have intercompany conflicts right now. That's not what we're going for. But let me say a few things just to get you out of the hot seat. You did bring up something interesting. And that is you talked about what you do based on who you are, right? Now, think for a second about the mission as it's unfolded in Scripture. I would suggest to you that the imperative of mission is connected to the indicative of God. So let me unpack that. The indicative is a statement of being. Who is God? And based on who God is, and obviously who you are because of God's work in you, based on the indicative, we get an imperative. We get a command connected with mission. Any other thoughts on mission? I think there were maybe a few. Anybody else want to jump in the water? It's getting hot. Josh. Okay.
I was thinking of the whole one within a dinner without the church, so a personal ambition outside of your daily interaction.
Again, this is, you're actually bringing up, there are some great pieces. I know we're having fun, but you guys are bringing up some great pieces. It's outside of our normal endeavors. And so what I would suggest is that mission actually isn't everything. Do you see the quote actually at the top of your page? Do you see that? It's right, not there. It's on the top of my page. Listen to this quote by Stephen Neal. If everything is mission, nothing is mission. So mission isn't everything we do. It's not everything we do in obedience to God or submission. It's not everything. Mission isn't breathing. Now, I want to suggest to you that actually the definition of mission started very, very narrow. Early definitions of mission would say something like this. It used to refer to Christians sent out cross-culturally to convert non-Christians and plant churches. It was kind of a narrow definition. It's Christians who are sent out cross-culturally to evangelize and plant churches. That's what mission meant. But then there was this pendulum swing, and a lot of writers are writing on missiology, and they're expanding the definition of mission, and pretty soon it seemed as though mission meant everything. So you start seeing, I still remember receiving a magazine, it was called Worship Magazine, and I'm flipping through this magazine, and I look, and there's this band, and they're up on a temporary stage in a place that looked like the center of Africa, and it's like a white boy band, and they're singing in English there, and there's Africans that are kind of jumping around and loving the music, and the subtitle was this, Worship Mission. And I remember scratching my head and thinking to myself, so we get some English speakers, we take them to the center of Africa where they don't speak English, and we set up a boy band to play, and people jive with the rhythm, and we call that mission? I mean, is that really mission? And they don't even understand what they're saying. Is that really mission? So all of a sudden, we get this definition. It starts really super expanding. You get things like environmental stewardship becomes mission, or community renewal becomes mission, or blessing our neighbors becomes mission, or mission is here and mission is there, and pretty soon mission is everywhere. But then we go back to that quote, if everything is mission, then nothing is mission. And so I think at the very onset, if we're going to talk about mission, if we're going to spend 8 weeks doing this, we need to come up with some sort of a definition. Now, I'd like to read you a few definitions that would be found in some of these books that I showed you. And then we're going to kind of get to boil it down to two things. Okay, here's one definition. This one's very broad. It's not necessarily even Christian. But listen to it. A mission is the primary thing you set out to accomplish. I mean, I heard some of that from some of you. It's kind of like, it's not necessarily bound to Gospel Grace Church. I mean, Apple can have a mission. The primary thing that you set out to accomplish. But let's kind of zoom it in because we're really talking about Christian mission. So here's a second definition. Mission concerns God's redeemed people and what he sends them into the world to do. So it involves God's redeemed people and what he sends them into the world to do. Here's a third, maybe final definition of mission. This one's kind of extensive. The mission of the church is to go into the world and make disciples by declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ in the power of the Spirit and gathering these disciples into churches that they might worship the Lord and obey his commands now and in eternity for the glory of God the Father. Amen. I'm out of breath. That was one sentence. But did you write that down? That was his definition of mission. Amidst all of these, I think if we go back to what this word mission means, I think we'll boil it down to really an understanding. So the word mission, it actually comes from a Latin root, and this is in your notes, comes from a Latin root, mittere, and it means to send. To send. Now, I think if we were to boil that down, if the word means to send, then it means two things. It means there must be someone who is sent, and there must be a task that's given. You don't just send, like, go. Suddenly you're starting to ask questions like, why? Where? How long? Are you going to give me some money for the trip? You don't just say go. It's sent, but you're sent with a task. And so if we were to boil the definition of missions down, we'd have these two components. To send with a task. To send with a task. And I think actually we could logically derive a few other things. If we're going to send, it means there must be a sender. There must be someone who's doing the sending, right? And if we're going to send, there must be someone who is sent. If we're going to send them, we're going to give them some sort of a task. Okay, what is it that I'm supposed to do? So here's your task. And then they must be sent to some recipient, a place or a people. They need to be sent somewhere. And so when we talk about missions, we're really talking about this idea that there are people who are sent, they're sent with a task. And it causes us to think, well, who's sending us? So I'd like you to start unpacking this. So now that you see these pieces, so tell me about mission. What are some things you know then about mission? If we were to describe it and understand it correctly, then our definition must include a few things. What? Yeah. Okay, there's a purpose. Okay, what else? Or task, a purpose. Start thinking about biblical mission now. Okay, to make disciples, to share the gospel, to proclaim. That's all falling right here, right? So when we start thinking about mission, we're trying to understand what's our task. What else do you understand? Okay, there must be a certain people we're taking it to. And in the New Testament era, what would that be? All the nations, all the people, all the world. Go from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to what? Uttermost parts of the earth, right? Acts 1:8. What else do we know? Interesting. So what does that have to do with us? I mean, how are you getting from that to mission? Interesting. So you're putting us here. So the Father sends the Son to us. But then what? Yes, John 20:21. Even as the Father has sent me, Jesus says, so send I you, right? Do you see how this mission is working? So the Father sent the Son to us. The Son sends us to the world. Yeah, that's mission. What else? Okay, good. So they're going to be sent. So they have to be given a task. They have to be trained for this because they're supposed to teach. They must know what they're supposed to teach. Anything else? Do you know what the Greek word for sent one is? Apostle. Yeah, apostle. Sent ones. Isn't that kind of cool? So you look at Paul. You think of him as an apostle. He's a sent one. Someone who's sent with a message to a certain recipient group because he's been given a task by Christ. So I hope this helps as we're coming down to a definition on mission. I'm trying to check my time here. Why don't we do this? Why don't we go to Galatians chapter 1? Let's see if we can find these pieces. We've been in Galatians, so this should be familiar territory to some of us who have been in the Sunday morning series. Take a look at Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 through 17, and see if you can identify the pieces or the component parts of mission in this section. So you have verses 11 through 17, and the reason I'm going to this section is because this is Paul's first writing. This is the first time Paul is writing about who he is and what he's doing. So this is his first kind of autobiographical account of who he is and what he's doing. See if you can look at those verses and come up with some of the component, identify some places where we see some of the component parts of mission. So Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 through 17. When you find a piece, then just raise your hand and we'll kind of work our way through it. Okay, he's making an argument that what he's doing didn't come from men, it came from God. So Paul's making an argument that, hey, in this whole series of what I'm doing, I've been given a task and it's come from God. Good. What else? See any other parts? What's that? Okay, he's been set apart. So he's been set apart as someone who's going to be sent. Anything else? Interesting. Yeah, he's going to identify when that happened, and he was set apart even before he was born. And in that, he's kind of connecting us with some of the Old Testament prophets, right? People like Jeremiah, right? Okay, good. What else? Okay, he identifies this, doesn't he? Do you remember when Saul, before he was called Paul, encountered, here's our tie to Easter, he encountered the resurrected Lord, right? Do you remember that? In that encounter, he was commissioned to be an apostle to the Gentiles. He would stand before kings, people in high places. He'd be an apostle to the Gentiles. Good, recipients. Anything else in that passage you see? Yeah, Aaron. Yes. Yeah, I mean, if we were to label maybe this arrow, we would say, with humility. Yeah, good. Anything else? Yeah, I think that's interesting. He talks about Peter. He'll talk about him as being an apostle to the Jews. And in like manner, he, Paul is saying, I am an apostle to the Gentiles. Good. So I think if we break down mission this way, I think you'll start to see it in Scripture. Do you see that? You see how these component parts are there in the passages of Scripture. What I'd like to do in the last 3 minutes is I'd like to just maybe throw out a teaser. But first, let me say this. The first people to use the word mission were Jesuits. They were the first people to use this word in connection with proclaiming a message. And it was wrapped up in their fourth vow. So these Jesuits, in their fourth vow, used this word as they promised obedience to the Pope in regard to the mission outside the church's fellowship of gathering in people like the Protestants to the mother church. So the first time you saw that mission was used, it was used by Catholics to gather in Protestants to the mother church. But then what you found is that the Protestants quickly adopted the word and they started to try to reverse the process. And that's where you see this funny thing called mission. Okay, I'm gonna throw out a few, maybe a few factoids, a few things that we need to think about when it comes to mission. And then the rest on your sheet, you're gonna have to get back to in our next lesson. Let me just identify this at the bottom of the sheet. I wanted to put this on here because what a tragedy if we just talk about mission in a really intellectual way and we parse words and we come up with really cool definitions and I draw on little chalkboard things. And everybody leaves here and we're like, wow, we learned about mission. I actually want mission to grab your heart. So over these next 8 weeks, I really want it to grab your heart. So on the bottom here, I put the largest unreached people group on the bottom of the page. And this is a group in China. They have a population of 13,399,000. I pulled this off the Joshua Project. 0% Christian, 0% evangelical. This group, they're Sunni Muslims. And they're unreached with the gospel. And I wonder if maybe even this week you would begin to pray for these people. Maybe pray that out of our congregation, God would send someone to these people. Maybe God is preparing someone now to go to these people. Do you remember Paul? He had these intentions on his missionary journey. He had these intentions, but the Spirit in a vision showed him a man from Macedonia. It's called the Macedonian vision. This man from Macedonia in his vision said this, come help us. Come help us. And when I look at this picture, there's 13 million people. Come help us. And so we really need to be prayerful when it comes to mission and our church's involvement in it. Okay, a few last factoids as I close. Let's see. The average church member donates $2.75 a week to the church. $2.75 a week. Of the which, 15 cents a week is the average giving to foreign missions. So 15 cents a week. That's the average giving. The total annual amount of church money embezzled in the United States is $16 billion. The total amount given to world missions from the United States is $15 billion. There is more money embezzled each year than given to the cause of missions in American Christianity. Right now in the world, there are 3,324 Muslim people groups totaling 1,300,000,000. There are 2,714 Hindu people groups totaling 900 million. And there are 573 Buddhist people groups totaling 375 million. All of which need to hear about Jesus. So may the Lord help us in the weeks to come as we study mission. And may he burden our hearts to be part of it. Okay, we're done.